Well, good morning on this Easter Sunday, I guess April 12, 2020. This is new for me to be taping from home, actually. I'm going to try that this morning and then upload the Sunday school lesson for Brother Jim and Brother Richard and see what they can do with that. So some challenges yesterday when I was practicing. It was a daylight, so I had a lot more light in the room. So this is truly a sunrise service. So I've got my lamps on, as many lights on as I can turn on, and got the shades open. So what I anticipate is before we finish the lesson this morning is that we'll begin to get more light in the room and it'll lighten up for me as well. I may even have to turn my lamp off to decrease, I guess, some of the light. But hopefully the image is not too dark as I was looking. I guess trying to do some test runs to make sure, but here at home this morning, if you notice, there's nothing behind me. I moved most of that around. I had to take the dancing Santa out. I didn't want you guys to see it, and wonder why we had not had it up since Christmas. I say that jokingly. I was kidding around with my wife about that as well. But anyway, we'll get straight into the lesson. And again, this is kind of new for me to be taping from home. I'm glad we have the technology to be able to do that. And I hope you're all well this morning. I know with this coronavirus, this COVID-19, it's kept a lot of us in. Or most of us, I guess we should stay in. And it's just different times than what I'd ever seen before. And anyway, we'll get started. And let me look this morning. I've got my Bible here. I don't want to get too close to the screen. My children are the ones who actually showed me how to do this, and they said, well, Dad, you don't want to end up with just your big head on the screen. And that's all people see. Now, you know, I'll be right in your face. So we'll try not to do that this morning and try to give you a little bit of, I guess, breathing room, so to speak. All right, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, we'll turn, and we're going to look at a familiar scripture over in over in Matthew. We'll look at a few other places as well. Just see what Scripture has to say this morning. Again, good to be here. Feel good. Good to be able to do the Sunday school lesson this morning. Let's look here and see what we've got over in Matthew chapter 24. Again, very familiar Scripture to you. And we'll give you time to find that. And, okay. All right, this is, of course, as we look into chapter 24, what we'll find is, the disciples at some point asked Jesus about his return. And not only his return, but the signs of his return and what it would be like during that time. And that's what we're told. And a lot of this, some could argue that it was for the destruction of Jerusalem when they were, of course, were taken into captivity and, of course, scattered about. But then also I think we can read into it and look into the times and the signs of his second coming and see what the days would be like. Now, I say that, and you look at our days today, and we're in a pandemic, and people say, well, I've never seen it like this before. I wonder, sometimes I think back, and it was, you know, a little over 100 years ago, 102, 103, they had the flu pandemic. You know, it's been mentioned a few times. I know, I wonder if there was a Sunday school class or a church somewhere or a preacher or someone mentioned, oh, this is getting close to the end times because here we've got this pandemic. It's a worldwide pestilence or disease. And, you know, I think about, I don't know, just the different signs that we see now. We live in one of the best times that we could live in because we can see prophecy being fulfilled in the Scripture. And, I look back and I think, well, did 100 years ago, did they think the same thing? They had World War I, World War II, so there were your wars, et cetera. And I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. But did they think the same? But what I'm going to try to do this morning is, with the help of the Lord, is try to tie in some other, other thoughts, or maybe even look at the global economy, how it might have been a little different now than it is then, and some other changes. And you have to remember, to us, that's a century ago, 100 years ago. So we think, oh, it's been forever. But to the God, that's no time. That's not even a drop in a bucket. And so to him, that's not even a day, and that time has passed. So we'll look here this morning, if you will, chapter 24. As I look over through here, we'll begin to read. Let me see here. We'll go ahead and read verse 1, and we'll read. I was going to try to see if we can shorten the verses down some, but we may try to go through most of the verses, maybe up to verse 43 or something, 42, and we'll see just how it goes and see what it says. But and Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. Again, this is Matthew chapter 24. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And Jesus set up on the Mount of Olives. The disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of the wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For the nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences. Here, I want to go, I could say it, in pestilences, in earthquakes, in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. But because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all the nations. Then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abominations of desolation spoken by Daniel and the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. And let them which be in Judah flee to the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are the child, and to them that suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not seen since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except these days should be shortened, those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. And if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before, wherefore there they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even into the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever carcass is, there will be the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, powers of the heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He shall send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet. There shall be gathered together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. And so we'll skip on over, if you would, with me now to verse number 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if a good man of the house that known in that and what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore ye also, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. And so that's reading just through verse 44 this morning in Matthew 24. And I skipped around. I know I left some out because just for the sake of time, we skipped over to verse number 36. But we were dealing with and we're getting into, of course, not only looking at the tribulation period, but also as the question was asked, what are the signs of the coming of the man of God that man had asked? And so he gave some pointers or some things to be looking for in the times that we live in. And I know you'll turn over to Acts with me, or I'll turn there this morning, and you can just stay where you're at. But if Acts chapter 1, let's see here this morning, verse number 11, as I get in here, see, this is, of course, the ascension of Christ. But when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come unto you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judah and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And so, as you think about that, and I wanted to read that to you as well this morning, as they watched him go up into heaven, and the Lord ascend into heaven, back into heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, he'd been resurrected, and after being crucified and laid in the tomb in 3 days, and he wasn't there. And of course, I'm speeding up and going again over into out of the Gospels here, I guess. Into Acts to get to the point where his ascension is and back into heaven. Just imagine standing there looking up and watching him go and him going through the clouds and disappearing. But again, there'd be two men standing among you in white apparel, in other words, and ask you that question. It says, you men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven, the same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. So he shall return, he will return. And then what we've seen over in Matthew were just, I guess, some signs that we could look at today. And I always had mentioned before and heard preached that, you know, the Jews require a sign, and that's why there were so many signs we see left in the Bible or Scripture or signs given, especially over in the Old Testament. But you get over in the New Testament, there are signs as well, things we can look for. And again, as I said, I think we're living one of the best times as we can look and see prophecy being fulfilled as we live our lives now in this time, in this day. There has to be as you look, and we read there in chapter 24, especially, I guess, verses, I don't know, 1 or I guess 2, we'll get on down through there, verses 3 and 4, through verses number, 14 or 15. Maybe verse 4 through 14, we looked at the political realm. I mean, it talks about there's wars and rumors of wars, and that's been going on for some time. And as we go back and we look at, again, 100 years ago or the what it would have been like during the flu pandemic back in the turn of the century, they just finished World War One. It wasn't long after that they went into World War II. So again, you wonder if they had some of the same thoughts that we have now, like, you know, what's going on. And I say that in my lifetime, not that this is the end of times because we've got this COVID-19 that's going around, but it makes you stop and think because for the first time in my life, and I guess I've known it, but I can actually see it now, how our world is really tied together. Especially when it comes to a global economy. You know, what happened in Europe, not necessarily as far as the disease, but as far as shutting everything down, affected us and how it affected us. And then you look at now in America how companies are shutting down. There's a lot of layoffs. I think I saw in the paper yesterday it's a record number of people applying for unemployment. You know, and I think just 3 months ago, or maybe even, let's see, what are we now, April, I have to think a second. Maybe 3 months ago, we were talking about one of the best economies that this country had ever seen, or maybe at least in the last 50 years. And then in the blink of an eye, it seemed like that now we've got the largest amount of people applying for unemployment than we've ever had. And so how quickly times can change, and that's something we need to keep in mind. But there's a political realm, and there's wars and rumors of wars. And if you look at the number of wars, I guess, growing across the world, if you look at the United Nations, they would talk and give you the number of that. There's, I guess, we look at what's going on in Afghanistan and Iraq, and that hasn't changed. That's still going on. Of course, they're trying to, I think, with the Taliban, trying to make a peace treaty. And, of course, you know, Israel's always battling for their survival. It seems like you hear something all the time about a rocket attack or a launch on them or a possibility of that. Or you worry about Iran and you worry about what Russia and maybe some of the other countries are doing. So it's always wars and rumors of wars. And that's been with us. So I don't think that really changes. And I want to say that because it let me see. Let me think where that is. If you go over into, let me find it, and just to give you something this morning to keep in mind. Oh, let's see here. 2 Peter, chapter 3. And I keep glancing. I kind of glance over to my right because I want to see myself on the screen. It's the same as you see me, but occasionally it will go out, so I have to move the mouse. I guess to keep the camera, I guess it would still be rolling or still go, but I do that to keep it on, so I keep my hand over to the side if you're wondering what I was doing there. But anyway, let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3, let's see. Verse number 2 says, that you be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of that, by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. For by the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved in fire against the day of judgment and perdition of the ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. And that's, we've heard that recently, I think, as we was reading there in Matthew, and talking about, you know, if the, kind of paraphrasing, it's a man of the house that had known when the thief was coming, he'd have been up and been ready. But he wasn't. His house got, for lack of a better term, got ransacked. And so we saw that as we were reading over Matthew. So here again, we see that he shall come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking forward and hasting unto you the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord in salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, is also in all his epistles speaking to them of these things, which are some things hard to understand, hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in knowledge for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. And that's going over to 2 Peter and looking and reading this morning, you know, living in the hope of the Lord's coming. And we need to live that way and think that way. And I know sometimes that's hard to do, especially now with this COVID-19 that's going around. It makes you stop and think, I guess, every day. I know for the first time, I told my kids, I said, you know, we wipe down groceries as we bring them into the house. And I don't know if everybody does that or not, or if we're using overkill. And you say, you guys are really, taking it to the extreme. But we do that, you know, try to keep our hands washed as well. Try not to let, you know, if we see neighbors, it's usually out in the street. And we just, or maybe passing through the yard and we speak to them. But we don't enter into other people's homes, and we don't ask them in hours either. We try to keep our distance from them. I know they talk about social distancing as well. I've noticed in the last week or so they've begun to use more masks. As you go places, there's a couple restaurants in town. You can pick up food to go, and I noticed they'll be gloved and have masks on, trying to prevent, I guess, transmission of anything they may have to you, or vice versa, trying not to pick up anything that you may have. But I read that over in 2 Peter, is that that we need to be upbeat and be looking through the Scripture and realize that Scripture's being fulfilled. It won't be long. It won't be long at all. To our Lord and Savior, He appears and, of course, takes us home and pulls the church out of here, and we'll be raptured out. And of course, then there's going to be other times of tribulations you'll see on this earth in which we won't be, we won't see, but that actually will occur. And that's what it's referring to, that there's some that will be ignorant of the Scriptures, or they'll be unlearned. But at the same time, there'll be people that'll be scoffing and be laughing, and I'm sure they still are today, that we even gather to go to church on Sunday, that we even gather and go to church on especially Easter Sunday. It would normally be a Sunday that you'd expect to see a big crowd of people at church. I remember one of the old pastors used to say, or older pastor, and years ago, somebody would mention, would say, well, you know, what about that Sunday morning crowd on Easter? And said, you got a larger crowd than what you normally would have. And what about those people that they only come one time a year? And I remember hearing him recall his comment was, well, my responsibility is to preach to them when they're here, whether it's one Sunday or if it's every Sunday. And so he said, I'm just glad to have them, glad they're here. And so, you know, I think everybody, even the scoffers, even the ones that laugh, even the ones that wonder, why didn't you go to church every morning, nothing's changed, even the ones that can go back and look and say, well, this is the same as it was back in, 1917, 1918, there was wars and rumors of wars, and we'll get to pestilence in just a second, but, you know, nothing's changed. And so, you know, why are you starting to get excited now as you look and begin to look up? And I think that's always been through the times as things occur. There's always people laughing or scoffing or not non-believers, I guess, or not believing that Christ is going to return. Take his children home, take the church home, and then, of course, return once again as ruler and a ruler over this world. And I'm getting off track here. Here, let me get back to where we were at. But then in the political realm, you'll have wars and rumors of wars. And I think we've already seen that. We've got a United Nations. I think we saw that, too, with this WHO organization, World Health Organization, who gave early guidance to how to treat this coronavirus and this COVID-19 out of China. And, of course, going back to look at that now, that maybe some of the decisions that the United States made were better than what the advice they were giving us. Seems like some of their advice may have been tainted by another country as well. And so we won't get into that, but a lot of politics there. And one reason why the advice may have been tainted is because of the world economy that we all share and live in. And they knew that by shutting things down, what it was going to cost not only each country, but also the world as far as the stock market goes and people who watch those things and rely on the stock market, or they rely on that for their livelihood, or that's all they can see. And they don't see the things of God that might be happening or occurring around them. But also, Jesus said that in the days before he returned, there would be famines and be pestilence. And I've got something this morning I wanted to read to you. I went back and found my old 1800s dictionary that was given to me. I've told you about that before. I had a man give that to me as I graduated from high school, and it was Webster's Dictionary, and it was like the 1800s version. And at the time when I opened it, I have to be honest with you, I've told you before, I thought, what am I ever going to do with that? Of course, you know, you're 18 at the time, or 17, and I think, oh, he gave me this dictionary, it's one of the, sorry about that, I had something pop up there on the screen. So it's one of the last things, you know, that you can have, as a kid that you want to have, is somebody give you a dictionary. And especially now, everything you look up online, you can just Google and go straight to it, but I still keep this close by just because of the definitions that Daniel Webster would use. And supposedly from history, going back and look, he was a Christian. I can't remember if he's a what we would call an old-time Methodist or a Presbyterian, but his definitions a lot of times will include Scripture, or he'll mention the things of God. And so I went back and I said, what does he say about pestilence? Or what does he say about disease? Because we've got the wars and rumors of wars, we know. But and again, I'll do the best I can to read this morning and see here, because the light's not been the best. I expect, and of course, I kind of glance out over my shoulder, and I can kind of see the sun coming up and light starting coming through the window. So that'll really, change here before too long. Again, really, truly, I guess a sunrise service this morning. But here, let me get the pestilence. I've already got it. And what I find interesting is as you look through pestilence right below that, you come to the word pestle, which is, think of mortar and pestle. When you think of grinding something out. I know pharmacies use those, and they'll use it's the club-shaped implement that you know as far as grinding or pounding. And, of course, they then use the mortar. Of course, they used to put the drugs in or the powder or whatever they needed to grind or the roots or whatever it may be. But the pestle is any type of device for pounding or stamping or pressing or applying pressure to. And I thought about that with pestilence, and I know the two are really related, but they're so close to the dictionary I can't help but read it. But I'm thinking about what this COVID-19 is doing to us as a nation and as a world. It's applying pressure to us. If you think about it, it is. Pressure at home, people are having or feeling to make their house payment or pay bills, or and I know a lot of banks have allowed people to maybe skip a payment, and a lot of utility companies saying, well, we're not going to take payment for another month. And I know the government's working on a bailout plan so everybody gets a certain amount of money, and it tries to help with paying your bills and et cetera. But I also thought that all that pressure that we feel as individuals came from a pestilent. And then I think about the word pestle and about how it applies pressure. It's used for pounding. It's used for grinding. It's used for getting the best out of something or the ingredients that you need. And so I thought about that as I thought about this pestilent. And, you know, is that another way, again, God's getting our attention? And because, again, in my lifetime, 52 years, I've never seen anything like this. We're locked in our homes, basically. Very little traveling, very little getting out, getting around. Of course, I know some people still do. I know I see that. People get out and they go as if there's, no quarantine. And I guess technically we're not quarantined, but people still get out and go and you still see them. Again, that's their business. Let me get the pestilence here, and I'm getting off track again. Pestilence, if I can find it here, and again, it's very small writing, and since I was 17 years old, my eyes have got, are not what they were when I was 17 either, but we'll read it this morning and see what it says. A contagious or infectious epidemic, or pandemic disease that is virulent and devastating. And one example it gives is of the bubonic plague, which went across Europe, and that was years ago, but that's the example he gave. Of course, you got to remember this is from the 1800s, so that's the definition, or that's something that had been fresh on his mind. Something that is destructive or pernicious. I'll pour this pestilence into his ear. And as you look again at pestilence, destructive of life, deadly, injuring or endangering society. And that's what we're seeing, injuring or endangering society. And again, pernicious, causing displeasure or annoyance. Contagious, or it says highly contagious. And as you go down, as you look through the rest of the definition of pestilence, you think about this COVID-19 that we have today. And that's what I think here, as we look in the description of the what the culture would be like when Christ returned. Not only do we have wars and rumors of wars, but also we look in, and I guess that'd be more in the political realm, but you look in the natural realm, and you look at the pestilence and disease that we have. Of course, that's on the forefront now because of what we do see going on. And we don't need to forget about other things that's going on around us as well. Let's look over in Romans. And I'm trying to not be down this morning, as I say, gloom and doom, but trying to be positive. That's why I gave that about 2 Peter and about how we had scoffers and people that laugh. And at God's word, and why do we even still meet? And I'm paraphrasing there. It doesn't say that, but still, when I think of scoffers, I think about people that laugh at maybe the way you believe or something that you may believe in or may be looking for. And as you look at scoffers, that's usually what that refers to. And sometimes people laugh or scoff at preaching. Or at the Word of God, or even going, I know we don't see it much anymore, but inviting somebody to church, or when I say that, I know we do that maybe at work, but maybe even going door to door, or maybe leaving a track on somebody's car. And I know a pastor says he always tries to leave one, or has before, in elevators, because you never know, or a place where might be close by to an elevator, somebody gets off, and they are able to grab that track and pick it up, or somebody might not have done that before. And people scoff at that, say, oh, nobody's going to get anything from that. Why are you even wasting your time? Things have not changed. It's still the same as it's always been. But as we look this morning, I want to go over to Romans. I hope I got the right place. Chapter 13, I guess it is, verse number 12. It said, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and in envy. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And as we go back and look in there, it says, walk, that's of course in the chapter 13 of Romans. As you look there, it goes through talking about authority and how we need to honor authority, but also how we need to walk in love. As the first part, I guess, of or the middle part of that chapter is, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. And as we look through there, and we go back down to there and look again, so the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. As we read that and read over in Romans, that's telling us that you know, the night is almost gone, the day is almost here. And again, as I say that, and as I read over in 2 Peter, I'm sure there's been Sunday school teachers, and there's been people and Christians and preachers and men and women alike, tried to share the gospel. It's told people that over time, and people just laugh about it and say, what do you mean? Nothing's ever changed. You know, but I stop and wonder, even this COVID-19, there were, Kim was telling me, I think it was Kim, my wife, or someone was telling me that there was someone asking or inquiring about the scripture, or more about the Word of God than normally wouldn't have, or begin to ask questions of the scripture because of what they knew in the scripture to be true, or what they'd heard, or what they'd heard preached over time. You never know how the Word of God settles down in somebody's heart, and how maybe the events of today that are going on around them makes them stop and think. You know, maybe that makes them stop and kind of scratch their head for a second and say, wait a second, you know, the Bible, I've heard that preached, and Christians believe that, maybe there's something to that, or maybe there's not. I don't know, but I mean, we know, but maybe I'm thinking as if it's someone else. At least it makes them inquire, at least makes them think. So, again, that's why I appreciate the technology that we have. Preachers still able to get the Word of God out. I think most churches are using them. online preaching. So that's been a wonderful thing. But as I look here and I look at the scoffers, and of course we look at the time that we're in, and the night is far spent, the day is at hand. It's time to be ready. Be going out of here before long. And of course, as we saw in Acts, they asked us, said, you know, as they looked up, you know, and looked into heaven and the clouds, and they were told, said, you know, why are you looking up? Said, the Son of Man's going to come again, same way, same manner, in like manner that he left. And so you need to be looking for that. And just a couple other places, and we'll be done. But as I look around here, and again, let me keep everything going. I'm trying to keep technology moving. It's probably getting light enough outside now. I could cut the lamp off and kind of decrease the light, but I want to keep it as bright, I guess, as I can so you can see me. So if you'll pardon that, I'm going to leave that alone. As this, again, is our first run through this to see kind of what it looks like. But so I keep glancing kind of over to my left, too, because, again, it looks like the sun's up or coming up. Don't know what kind of day we're going to have out there, but whatever it is, it's going to be a glorious day because it's God's day. And every day is God's day, and it's a blessing to be able to see it and live another day, especially on Easter Sunday. You know, we've talked before, and this is a side note and chase a rabbit here. But if you recall, we went back and looked at, I guess it's been a few years ago, we looked at this nation and it being settled, and the pilgrims and the early settlers and and we looked as the nation became the United States, and you know, after Revolutionary War, the War of 1812, et cetera, went through the years, and there was one. I hesitate to call it a holiday, but there was one day that was always celebrated by the Christians, and they'd all come together and celebrate it together, and take time, and banks would be closed, and there'd be no business conducted, and that was always Easter. And that's one day that Christians would go back and look to, and I guess as a group come together and worship. And that's still the same case today. And I say that because what we did during that time, if you recall, and it may have been 4 or 5 years now, time flies, we contrasted that with Christmas, which is we look at the birth of Christ, which again is a time to celebrate, and we do. I'm not, you said, oh no, he's anti-Christmas, and I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is that was more of a, that was known and accepted, but it was not a scheduled day off or a holiday, for example. I don't think it was until after the Civil War that we begin to recognize Christmas, and maybe businesses or shops would begin to close or close early. But Easter is always, as far as this nation's concerned, and the reason why I say that, I would think they brought that with them. I don't know that for sure. That's something I could go back and find, even from Europe, that when it came to Easter Sunday, and it came to the Passover, I guess, too, for the Jews, but it came to Easter for the Christians. That was the day which was celebrated, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that was a day that we gathered together and worshiped and prayed and studied and looked into the Scripture. And maybe that's why still today there's something in man. When I say man, women, children, but when we would gather at church, and we could, and we didn't have this virus going on, and we could go to church, that might be the reason why Easter always seemed to be the number one Sunday out of the year, that people that normally would not go to church, they would at least on Easter make the time to get up and prepare their themselves, but also get their family ready. They go to church, and you might not see them again. And you've heard that said for a year, but then they come back again. And I think Easter, there's something about it. Even the lost or the saved, there's something about Easter. Well, even thinking about Jesus Christ and the name and what it, even mentioning that name nationwide or worldwide even today, what it means. And what it means is a Savior. And people even that lost Even the scoffers that I mentioned, I was looking at my notes, but even the scoffers that were mentioned, you know deep inside there's something that's inside telling them. So there's something about this man, Jesus Christ. And so anyway, I was getting off track there, but you remember we looked at that as far as Easter goes and what it meant to this nation and what it meant to the Christians. And it's always been a time that we've celebrated or set aside. And I remember we compared, you know, we contrasted that with Christmas and compared the two and talked about, anyway, different times when they became holidays. And I remember talking about, you know, business being conducted even on Christmas Day and maybe for a half an hour, et cetera. And, but Easter had always been a time that the Christian and people had remembered and I guess kept holy as much as they could, and they'd come together, whether it's Methodist, Presbyterian, Baptist, whatever, and they recognize that. But anyway, I'm getting off track there. So there's a natural realm that we have to think about, and of course we talked about famines and pestilences. And that's what we're having now. That's what we're living in. We see now we're in rumors of wars, and that's been something that we've seen. But also we got to think about, as we look the moral realm, and as we look and read through Matthew chapter 24, he said there would be a day of lawlessness, a day when people rejected any kind of authority. As we look, I remember just probably in the last 5 years, I don't think that's ever become more evident than it is now. I remember my dad used to say, and we would see on the news where someone maybe had shot a police officer. And I remember recall my dad would always shake his head, and he'd always say, "Boy, that's one of the worst kind of criminals that you could have." And I'd say, "Well, Dad, what do you mean?" You know, of course, I knew someone had been shot or had been a police officer or whatever. And he would say, "Well, because they represent the law." And he said, "The law of the land that we have." And he said, "Someone takes the time to shoot a police officer or takes that opportunity," he would say. He said, "That means they have no respect for you or for me or for a family or for other families, because, again, they represent the law." And so lawlessness abounds. And we're beginning to see more and more of that. And so not only do we have, as it seems like our political system falls apart, and then now all of a sudden in the natural realm, or as far as disease goes, we begin to see ourselves with this pestilence or this COVID-19. We have other things which are around the world. We think about, of course, countries where there's famines, and that's still going on, and you can't forget about that. And I had a good friend of mine call me, and he was talking to me. He said, "Yeah, you know, we had the tornadoes in Nashville that went on up to Cookeville and the damage they did and all the homes they destroyed and the swath of the path, one of the widest they've ever seen in the longest time that the tornado stayed on the ground." And that was the topic of the news for about a week until this COVID-19 hit. He said, "Then all of a sudden those people seemed like were forgot about." And don't know that for sure. People, hopefully, we see down are still helping them, are still helping them, you know, get back into homes and have shelter, et cetera. But how quickly, you know, sometimes we tend to forget. Not only do we have this COVID-19, but there's other things going on in this world. And again, I mentioned famines, I mentioned other storms, or I mentioned destructions that we may see. I know tonight, or I guess it's tonight or today, that if you watch the weather forecast for down in other parts of the country, down in some of the southern states, they're calling for some of the worst storms maybe they've seen in several years, and they're telling people to prepare for those. So, again, you hear all these things. So that's more in the natural realm. And as we go back, and again, I can mention, people can say, "Well, 30 years ago we had this, or 25 years ago we had that," and that's true as well as you look around. But here I got back on those. But what I meant to say, too, is there's a day of lawlessness that we have now that we didn't have before. And that's just something that's new to me. It's hard for me to understand. But Scripture here told us, the Word of God told us that there'd be a day of lawlessness, and there'd be a time when people would not respect authority, and they'd scoff at it. Again, I use that word scoff, but they'd laugh at it. Police officers put themselves on the line day in and day out to keep you safe. I think about that. Sometimes we'll go by. Of course, I know in our car sometimes we have little apps and GPS, and sometimes it'll show a little police officer on it, and kind of lets you know to slow down. And I know my kids will point that out, and then I'll think, while that's happening, at the same time as we go by, I'll say, oh, good, maybe I was speeding a little bit, I slowed down, or other cars, we all slowed down, and we got by. And then I think, if somebody's breaking into your house, we're talking about that thief in the night. Let's say that in reality, let's say somebody actually was breaking into your house, and that, of course, was looking at the coming of the Lord. But let's just say, just in general, somebody was breaking into your house. Who's the first person you call? That's the police officer. And a lot of times they show up by themselves until, of course, backup gets there. But they come right on in. And that needs to be accounted for. We need to remember that. And that the day of lawlessness is here, where people don't care anymore. They don't look at that anymore. I'm almost finished up here. I'm checking my time. I'm getting real close to an hour. You know how I am about my time. I generally say that I'm going to finish up and be done, but I'm definitely going to try to be done in an hour today. But just a couple other things that we saw here in Matthew, then we'll be done, and I'll wrap up with a verse and just be finished. So if you'll just bear with me a few more minutes. But we also have the spiritual realm. There'll be a day of false prophets, false teaching. And we have to be, of course, we're aware of that. We see that today. So everything we've talked about this morning is going back to what I said at the beginning. We live in a time where you can look and see that everything that, I guess we live in one of the best times as far as seeing prophecy fulfilled. Because everything that we read here, we can go back and see. But again, a spiritual realm, there's false prophets and there's false teaching, false preachers that you see, and that occurs daily, even now. We look at the missions realm, and I made a note of that, and I thought about the missions, and is that what it used to be? Do we support missionaries the way we used to? I remember they're in church, and of course, a couple of men in their church, they handle the missions. And I know we try to support them as much as we can, try to have as many missionaries in as we can support them as they're going out. But as there are as many going out, how many are coming back in? How many are leaving the field? And that's something, too, that's very important. And when you talk to, some of the missions boards, that's some things that they would tell you that, well, we have several going out, but we also have several coming back. We have some that go and they quit, or maybe they don't get the support they need. So the missions realm, getting the gospel out to the world, that begins to decrease as well. And again, I think that goes back a lot of times to what we read in 2 Peter. I think that goes back to the scoffers. There's people who begin to believe, and generation begin to believe that, wait a minute, well, there's nothing to this. They've been preaching for ages and for years, and nothing's changed, and the world's not changed. It continues to go on. And I think that goes back to more people getting that mindset, what they had before. They forget again, as we read in Romans, that the night is far spent. The day is at hand. And, of course, I guess more as Christians, this when we begin to look up and look for His return. And that can give us some joy and some happiness each day, no matter what you're dealing with. And, of course, I covered the last one right there when I said that, but you got to think about the social realm. In other words, life goes on. Even today, as I'm taping this, life goes on as far as we know, unless case the Lord appears and takes us out of here, raptures the church out and takes us home. And we don't know any promise of tomorrow. None of us have, or even the next hour or the next two. But we think about socially in the social realm about how we should be or act as, I guess, conduct ourselves, not act. That act makes me think of a play. That's not what we're conducting, but we're conducting ourselves or how our communication should be, not only speech but our actions as Christians. And we need to conduct ourselves in such a manner that other people in the world can see that, and especially in these times that we're facing in this pestilence or this COVID-19 or this isolation that we have. And hopefully it'll pass soon, maybe another month or so, and get it out of the way, and we can, I guess, get back to shaking hands and hugging one another and greeting one another that way. But until then, I hope you're well. I hope you're doing well. And thanks for listening this morning. I know it's been right at an hour. I've got one other, where did I put that? One other thing. There's my Bible. I was looking right past it. I thought I wanted to reach for something else, but I don't. I want to leave you with a verse of Scripture that answers the question. You probably know exactly what it's going to be, as I read over in Matthew 24 and what we're dealing with today and we think about on this Easter Sunday. And got a lot of things to be excited about. And again, remember that I tell you what, there were two places I wanted to read. One was here, and I'll get it real quick, and I'll get out of the way. Just for excitement, just put a gleam in your eye, so to speak. And as I read this, let's see, chapter 15 of Corinthians. Let me find it here, and I'll try to get to it quick. And I won't read anything other than it. I got one other place, but that's it. That's just to wrap up. And in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must be put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. But in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, you think how quickly that's going to happen. It happened. And it's almost one of those things like when I see lightning in the sky. And I always tell my children, I always say, you see lightning, and you always mention it, but it's already occurred, it's coming gone. And you say, well, it was lightning, but you don't predict that it's coming, or you see it like, oh, I think it's going to be lightning right there. It's already come and gone, because it's in the twinkling of an eye. It's that quick. You think how quick that'll be. And I had one other place just to wrap up, as I always do. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. And I say I always do, but I don't always do, but I do a lot. I read out of Ecclesiastes, because even as we finish reading there in Matthew chapter 24, and we looked at some other places in the Scripture, and some things we need to be excited about, or things we need to look for, or things that we need to look in this day, and that we're living in, seeing the days of, or seeing prophecy, I guess, fulfilled in our days as we live, and one of the best times to live, as I've heard said before, is because you actually can read the Scripture and look and say, yeah, that's really happening. But let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. And this is Solomon back in the day, Ecclesiastes. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And that's the bottom line. And I hear that a lot of times where people say, just give me the bottom line. And to me, that is the bottom line. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. All right, I'm wrapping up. Looks like I'm right at an hour. I'll finish up, try to get this uploaded. Again, for Jim and Richard, I hope my face hadn't been too big right on the screen. I hope it hadn't been too light. I hope it hadn't been too dark. And just let us know, and we'll try to adjust that if we do this again, or maybe better to try to do it during the daytime. But as I notice, I look outside, and it is daylight, maybe a little cloudy, so maybe that's kept the sun from coming in as it would. But thank you again this morning for your attention, and God bless you all. It's good to see everybody.
when I say that, because it seems like I'm looking out right now at the church, sitting up in my little table, and you guys are all out there. All right, well, hope you have a wonderful day, and happy Easter.